Brothers and sisters in Christ, good evening. And welcome to this service of worship this evening as we come into the presence of our Lord and mark this night in which Christ gave to his disciples the commandment that we should love one another. As we come, just a reminder of other services throughout the weekend. We will be here again tomorrow morning for the Good Friday service, then on Sunday morning for the celebration of the resurrection. The method of service of communion when that time comes this evening is we are all going to gather around the table at the front. At the appropriate time, I would invite you to come forward. I think if we make a big circle, we will all fit here on one lift. Every now and then, if there's a sufficient crowd, we need to do two groups of people around the table. But I think we can all come up at once to receive the elements. As at the last celebration of communion, the bread is inside a disposable cup, so there's no worry of touch contamination as you're securing your piece of bread from the first tray. So please, when you are served, you can take your bread and then take the bread out of the cup to commune. And then likewise, the juice is also in little cups. And as we gather around the table, the way it will work is I'm going to give the tray to not the first person next to me, but the second person next to me. That second person will turn and serve the first person, and then turn and pass the tray to the next person so that it goes around the circle, and that third person will serve the second, and on and on. If we get the pattern started, it will just flow naturally. So that is how we will be serving the communion this evening. And as always, we come into the presence of our Lord and we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we seek always to walk in his ways. In the growing darkness, we gather. Our Lenten journey has brought us here. Jesus, our teacher and Lord, sets before us a towel and a bowl. Bread and the cup. He gives us an example and a commandment ever new that we love one another as he has loved us. This is how everyone will know that we are his disciples when we love each other. Let us come before God this evening in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, source and sovereign, you put all power and authority into the hands of Christ. Christ who washes his disciples' feet in humble service. Teach us to love one another as Christ has loved us, so that everyone will know that we are his disciples. Through Jesus Christ, our teacher and our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 224 in the Book of Praise. An upper room did the Lord prepare. Number 224, or as the words appear before you on the screen. you to join me in the prayer of confession. This evening's confession is a response of prayer. Let us join our voices together. Lord Jesus Christ, how well you know our hearts.
And still you love us. You have loved us to the end.
We have denied you.
And we have denied our calling to serve one another.
We have betrayed you.
And we have betrayed your commandment to love one another.
Pour out your Spirit of grace upon us. Teach us to love and serve you faithfully, and to love and serve one another by the example you have set for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Friends, now is the Lord Jesus Christ glorified, and God has been glorified with him. Now the promise is fulfilled, and love's redeeming work is done. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good evening. Our first reading comes from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 14. Let us hear the word of God. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn with fire. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from human to animal, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Our second reading comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples also had been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, That person called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Our third reading comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 116, reading verses 1 to 2 and 12 to 19, and we will be reading it responsively. The responses will appear before you on the screens. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications.
Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful one.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Let us join our voices in singing hymn number 76, I Love the Lord. The words will appear before you on the screens.
Continuing to read from God's word as it is given in John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17 and 31b to 35. Listen for God's word to his people. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from the Father and was going to the Father, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, Jesus said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are the messengers greater than the one who has sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified with him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this evening is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I guess it was probably around this time last year that I made the decision to focus on the Gospel of John this year. And as we have noted before in worship, there is a benefit to reading systemically through the fourth Gospel. Because when we do that, we see the connections that the author of that gospel seeks to make between the various episodes in Jesus' life. And John, perhaps more than any of the other gospel writers, makes these connections. In his gospel, John lays out the basics of our Christian faith as they are manifest in the life of Jesus. I was reminded of this reality as I began meditating on John's text for this evening, the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples as they had gathered at the table. As I was thinking about this act of humble service, I was struck that the public ministry of Jesus is bookended by these two different references to the Jewish rites of purification and the use of water. The rites of purification and other practices that we see laid out for the children of God in the Hebrew Scriptures are means by which they will show by their actions that they are the followers of the one true God. All of the laws of the Old Testament are predicated by that reality, that by doing these things, people will know that they are followers of the Lord. In the story of Jesus at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, Jesus melds the miracle of turning the water into wine with the jars of purification that had been emptied as the guests had arrived at the wedding feast, and used the water contained in those jars to wash their hands before the meal. Well, there are certainly many ways to interpret that miracle, and we spoke about that several weeks ago. It may well be that this miracle was meant to contrast the empty ritual of the purification with the extravagant and abundant new wine that Jesus came to share with the people. And here again this evening, in our reading from John chapter 13, as Jesus washes his disciples' feet, Amy Jill Levine, professor of New Testament at Vanderbilt Divinity School, asserts that this is not just an act of hygiene, of cleaning the dust off their feet, but that this too was an act of ritual purification. And here again, Jesus takes old tradition and infuses it with new life. As Jesus and his disciples are gathered around the table to break bread and drink from the cup, Jesus rose to wash the disciples' feet. It is not a cleansing so that they may be acceptable to God. That is what the ritual purifications were. But rather, it is an act in which Jesus humbles himself. And here the power dynamics of that whole ritual world are turned upon their heads. And yet, the idea of identification remains. When Peter is shocked by Jesus' actions of kneeling before him to wash his feet, Peter exclaims, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus responds, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Through Jesus' example in washing the disciples' feet, and through Jesus' teachings in giving a new commandment to love one another as Jesus has loved us, we have been given new identity as followers of Jesus to show Jesus' love in humble acts of service. Here tonight we gather at the table of the Lord to break bread and to drink from the cup and to affirm that we belong to Jesus. Here in this sacrament, Jesus claims us and forms us as his own. We are claimed because we remember Jesus' words of institution of the Last Supper, that this bread is his body, which is broken for us. That this cup is his blood poured out for us. And we are formed because we gather at this table and are reminded of the unity of the Holy Spirit that makes the church, that makes us one. Traditionally, the communion service used to include a piece of the service which we used to call the fencing of the table. You may remember it. It is the exhortation of the people of God that they are not worthy of this sacrament if they are outside of the fellowship with God or with their neighbor, if they will live willfully in sin, or if they live self-righteously or in a way that separates them from their neighbor, then they ought not come to receive the sacrament before they have set themselves right with either God or neighbor. It is an appeal for the believers of Jesus Christ to embrace fully Jesus' commandment that we receive this night, that we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. This is our sign to the world that we belong to God, to Jesus, and that we would love one another. Thanks be to God. Amen. We've spoken of the institution of the Holy Supper according to our Lord Jesus Christ as it has been given to us by the Apostle Paul. Let us hear now these words of institution. That the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was arrested, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, Christ took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. As we come this evening, we come confessing, affirming our faith, and we will use the affirmation as it appears before you on the screen. What does it mean to share the Lord's Supper? When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ is truly present, pouring out his Spirit upon us. By his Spirit, the bread that we break and the cup that we bless share in our Lord's own body and blood. Through them, he once offered our life to God. Through them, he now offers his life to us. As we receive the bread and the cup, remembering that Christ died even for me, I feed on him in my heart by faith, with thanksgiving, and enter his risen life, so that his life becomes mine, and my life becomes his to all eternity. Amen. Let us sing the communion hymn number 549. "For the bread which you have broken," hymn 549. now come before God, giving thanks and praise for all that God has done for us. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, for you have made us the masters of your world, to tend it, to serve it, and to enjoy it. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who make your people holy through doing his commandments, and who delights in us. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. We give thanks to you, to God, that in the fullness of time God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might experience God's divine love and be made righteous through his death upon the cross. As Jesus took bread, the fruit of the earth, and wine, the fruit of the vine, and instructed us to remember his redeeming sacrifice, we now take these elements of bread and wine and set them aside for this holy use and mystery, that we may be nourished in faith and grow in grace to the glory of your holy name. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. And as Jesus taught his disciples, we now unite our voices, praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I would invite you now to come and gather around this table, that we might feast with him in the good things that he has offered. As you receive the elements. Otherwise you mess up the system. Take your bread. you may return to your seat. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus Christ, for the gift of grace we have received from your hand, the bread of your own body, and the cup of your new covenant. As you have fed us at your table, now send us forth in faith, proclaiming your saving death and resurrection until you come again in glory. We pray these things in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 778 in the Book of Praise. Lord, you give the great commission. We will sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of the hymn. Jesus has set an example for us to serve others as he has served us and to love one another as he has loved us. Go and do likewise so that everyone can tell that we are his disciples. And may God, who led Israel out of slavery into freedom, may Christ, who led us out of death into life, and may the Holy Spirit, who leads us out of fear and into boldness, abide with you this Holy Thursday. in the holy days that lie ahead and forevermore. Amen.